So you'll have seen all of the headlines over the last week or so. Fianna Fáil want to nominate Jim Gavin to be president. But who is he and what would Jim Gavin the politician look like? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you are listening and wherever you get your podcasts. And this is one of those weird ones where the world of sport and the world of politics crossover, because Micheál Martin has decided that Jim Gavin, former Dublin football manager, is his pick for the presidency, and he's in the process now of trying to get the nominations and beat out Billy Kelleher, the MEP. And usually when all of these candidates come up, be them celebrity or politician or whoever, we know a good bit about them, we've learned about them through public life. But Jim Gavin is sort of a weird one because we know who he is, but in terms of his views, his political ideas and why he wants to be the president, we really don't know that much about him yet. So here to explain is News Talk's GAA correspondent Tommy Rooney, who has followed his career, who has maybe met him a lot more than a lot of us would have. Tommy, thanks for coming on.
Sean, how are you doing?
Good. So listen, my impression, I'm not the biggest GAA fan in the world, I know that's sacrilege to you, but my impression from outside, you could not know about Jim Gavin, you could not know about that Dublin team that were so successful. But my impression was a guy who never really gave much in a press conference. We didn't really know much about him, just that he was supposedly this amazing leader. Is that your impression from having covered him, or is there much more to this Jim Gavin than maybe meets the eye?
There's a lot to Jim Gavin. I'm not going to sit here, Sean, and pretend that I know Jim Gavin or I know him intrinsically. I've learned little bits and pieces about him over the last couple of years. I've been in this role now for maybe 3 years. So the Jim Gavin that I've got a glimpse of, I think, is an evolved Jim Gavin in many ways from the Jim Gavin that was the Dublin manager. Evolved in the sense that he was probably more engaging with the media in his role as the chairman of the Football Review Committee in the last 18 months than he probably would have been while he was manager of the Dublin Footballers, the greatest Gaelic football team, certainly success that we've witnessed in our lifetime. They won 5 in a row All-Ireland titles. And what I mean by that is he was tasked with fixing Gaelic football in a sense, because the game of Gaelic football had fallen foul of boring, defensive, possession style, afraid of taking risks sort of football, right? And I'm going to kind of come at you with a couple of things here. One of the reasons why football fell into that sort of zone was Jim Gavin came in as Dublin manager in 2012. Pat Gilroy had led the Dubs to winning their first All-Ireland in 16 years. That was seen as being a famine in 2011. Gilroy stepped away after 2012 and Jim Gavin stepped up as manager. He led Dublin to an All-Ireland in 2013, playing this rambunctious, blockbuster, superstar style of football in 2013. They got over the line. In 2014, they were even better. They were like the Harlem Globetrotters. And they got caught in the hop. They got beaten by Donegal. They were, for perhaps the first time, and in hindsight, a lot of people have spoken about this game, they probably got a little bit ahead of themselves. And what we saw after that was, as I mentioned earlier, the greatest feat we've seen from a Gaelic football team in my lifetime, in many people's lifetime. They went on to win 5 All-Irelands in a row. Gavin, I think, felt like they'd overlooked a couple of areas. They had maybe not realised a few of their own weaknesses, a few of their deficiencies, and they went on to just strangle the life out of every team in the next 5 years. And they ended up playing boring enough style, possession-based style, a percentage-based style where they would only take shots in the right zone, in the right moment. Only their best shooters would take shots when they were given the chance to. They all worked collectively as a team. And they set this template, which they weren't fully to blame for it, but, you know, in the GAA, you get a lot of copycat managers around the country. Club teams started trying to play like this. And the game itself needed to be totally reinvigorated. And what did Gerlach Burns, the GAA president, do? He turned to Jim Gavin, who, after leading Dublin to 5 in a row All-Ireland titles, retired as manager and stepped away. Gavin came back. He headed up this committee, right? And there's so many committees in Irish life that get put together and you're like, okay, they're going to do a great job. They're going to get things done. And they all fall to the wayside. But the work that Jim Gavin did as chair of the Football Review Committee was honestly exemplary. And we got to know him a little bit more then. He was a little bit more of an open book. You got the sense that he perhaps, not that he detested the media when he was Dublin manager, but I don't think he saw much use for the media as Dublin manager. I don't think he saw much of a benefit in being an open book as the Dublin football manager. He had enough things to manage and win over and mind. But as chairman of the Football Review Committee, I think he knew he needed to bring the people with him with the changes they were trying to implement, because it was radical. I might be going a little deep here on the sort of football side of things.
No, well, it's interesting. It's interesting because when you say he was presiding over sort of a defensive, safe and boring style of football, the first thing that came to my mind was Fianna Fáil politics that has been defensive and boring and stayed for, you know, 15 years, basically since Micheál Martin became Taoiseach. It was the first time I sort of put together two and two of, okay, maybe this is why he's looking outside the party for somebody. But when we, because what I'm trying to understand by getting into the football is, what will the politician look like? And if you're saying he's now bringing people along with him, like, that's a very different kind of guy than what we might have the first impression of.
Yeah. And can I double down on what I meant with the style of football that they played? The reason why they could do that safe, possession-based style of football was they were absolutely unbelievable at every single one of the basics. They ticked every other box along the way. But what they didn't do was, they didn't take chances or risks that they didn't need to do. They didn't let players step over the line. They all played their roles to a T. And it was military-style precision as a football team. Like, they were on message. They were all drilled in the same direction. And for years, they looked unbeatable. Now, there was times in All-Ireland finals that Mayo got very close to them and fell short. But to win 5 All-Ireland titles in a row is a remarkable achievement. Bringing people along, I think what we saw with Jim Gavin while he was over the Football Review Committee, and I remember speaking to, and he had a lot of high-profile people with him on that committee when they were trying to change the sport. I remember speaking to somebody at the start, and I was like, what's Gavin like to work with? He could run the country, is what was said to me back in 2023. I was like, what do you mean he could run the country? They're like, his preparation, the manner in which he brings people along, the way, and it sounds like small things, like, but his attention to detail, timekeeping, really small things, but he's just such an efficient individual. And speaking to some of them who've been involved in that committee for the last 18 months about their experience, and they're very close now to having totally changed the sport this year and bringing the entire population along with them that enjoy the game. They're very close to getting all that over the line in the next couple of weeks. I asked him to kind of reflect on his time with Gavin, and it was just the thing that stood out was, of all the rules and all the changes that as a committee they voted on, or they decided on, they never had an internal vote within it. They never actually, amongst themselves, had an argument, because Gavin, I think, felt like to get everything over the line, they needed to all be in the same boat. So, like, if you're thinking of that in terms of diplomacy, or in in terms of trying to maybe negotiate something or have a conversation, I know the presidential role is quite a ceremonial one, but to have somebody that has the wherewithal to, even if he believes in something, can still work with the people in the room to get to a really good point. To me, it sounds like, I can understand why Micheál Martin went for a candidate like that, somebody who's so good with different groups of people from different backgrounds.
Well, it's interesting, and I'd love to know what the people you've been speaking to think about why Jim Gavin wants this. Because I get, and even more in talking to you, why Micheál Martin wants this. But to go for a role where you don't really have any power, your job is to sign stuff into law, it's to be a representative, an ambassador, to host parties, maybe to bring people together. He's always seems to be a man who's worked towards a goal, be that winning an All-Ireland, changing the rules, Dublin Inner City Task Force, whatever it is. I don't understand what the goal for him here is, other than to win office.
Yeah, and it's a question, it's a really good question. And I think, I'd imagine we'll learn if he gets through next Tuesday, right, with the Fianna Fáil contest. If he gets through next Tuesday with Billy Keller, and is the candidate, I think we'll learn a lot more about Jim Gavin. We've only really got glimpses. Anyone who tells you they know who Jim Gavin is, you know, in, especially in GAA media circles, I'm not sure any of us really got that close to him. You got a glimpse, really. But, you know, if you sat beside him at a function and you got talking about airplanes or you got talking about the military, you might have learned a little bit more about him. But when it came to football, you just didn't get too much. In terms of what's driving him, Sean, like, on a very basic level, I'd imagine it, the honour, I suppose. I'm sure it's an incredible honour to be asked. I'm sure it's an incredible honour to be president of your country, regardless of how much you can achieve with it. Tommy Martin wrote a brilliant piece in the Irish Examiner during the week where he said, and this echoes a lot of what I've heard from people who know him and have worked really closely with him, they'd love to see him as head of housing or head of the health department and giving him a remit of something that he can fix. Like, you know, some of the roles that he's taken on since he stepped away as Dublin manager have been really impressive outside of the Football Review Committee. You know, he stepped in as chair of the task force of the Northeast Inner City board. You know, he's done other bits and pieces in and around electing a Dublin mayor. I think he's interesting in that side of things. He did a really interesting interview actually at a I think it was an Irish Pro-Am, a Legends kind of tournament that Paul McGinley had organised a couple of years ago in Rosapenna, and did an interview with Brian Keogh. It was 18 questions, and if you haven't seen it, you might have came across it. If you haven't, you pick up a few little snippets about a minute, but I hadn't realised, I know both of his parents were from West Clare, Cree and Moy, his father and his mum were both from out that direction. But both of his grandfathers, Sean Vaughan and Michael Gavin, fought in the War of Independence, and he said that he has never met them, but he was asked what his most treasured possession is. I've never met them, but I have my grandfather Michael Gavin's War of Independence medal, and that's a treasured possession that I recently got for him. He's somebody who has given his life to public service. You know, he's been in the military, he's served in peacekeeping missions, he rose all the way to commandment. You know, even his role in terms of, you know, being in charge of safety of aviation in Ireland, like he's I suppose he's constantly had roles in a sense where he's probably looking after people or keeping an eye on people. And I think if Jim Gavin ends up in the Oris as president of Ireland, I would definitely say we're in safe hands in that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that kind of shepherd of the country, having been shepherd of the team. I probably should know this. What age of a man is he?
54.
So he's young enough.
July this year, he turned 54. So he is relatively young, but like, have we had younger presidents before? Like, I'm sure Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese were, I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I can't remember. They're definitely younger than that. So it's not massively young. It's always interesting to me as to why a younger person wants this. And you see the 35-year-olds who are running this time, and a lot of that's about show. But it's just interesting because you could well see a 14-year presidency. Yeah. If you get a good election, that would bring you up to, what would that bring him to, his late 60s? Kind of, yeah, it's sort of an ideal time of life to get it if you were going to get it, isn't it?
Yeah, but like the thing is, Sean, and you know this better than I do, like, and same with anything in life, that these opportunities, sometimes they don't come around again. Sometimes you have to strike when the iron is hot. And like Jim Gavin has never struck me as someone who is driven by ego. And I say that without, you know, irony, in the sense that of course you need an ego to and a level of confidence to be a manager. But it's always been about, you know, not just a manager, but a manager to guide Dublin to 5 All-Irelands in a row. Like, that is a behemoth of a task. To achieve what he's done in his own personal life, in his own professional life, of course you need that. But he's been a facilitator. He's always been driven by that, you know, and different managers are different styles. And I would even say he's not of the typical GA ilk or GA ilk, you might say. You know, I doubt he'd be bopping away to the two Johnnies at a listening there at the weekend. But I think he's probably, we're going to learn now, I think we're going to have to learn a little bit more about why Jim Gavin is different and why none of us could really crack him when he was the manager of the Dubs. I think he's probably going to have to show a little bit more over the next couple of weeks to the nation if he is to become the president of Ireland. But I'd just be really interested to see what we're going to learn about him, because to me, he's a really interesting character who has had an unbelievable impact on a version of Irish life that is important, and has also served in ways a lifetime you know, in an industry that we probably don't know a huge amount. Like, I didn't know, I don't know what he did in terms of the peacekeeping missions in Chad, or, you know, the various jobs he's had is in the Defence Forces as well. But I'm sure we might hear a little bit of that over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And if he's a man, like you say, within the GAA Reform Committee, who didn't want a lot of conflict, I wonder how you think he will stand up to a debate where you have not only the host, but you've got, you know, whoever it be, Heather Humphreys, Catherine Connolly, Mary Lou McDonald, whoever it is, where they're going at you and it is by its nature gladiatorial. How does that fit into his character?
That's going to be really interesting. And I think he'll be well fit for it in lots of ways. He comes incredibly well prepared to anything that I've ever seen him do. He always had a briefcase with him at the Football Review Committee. We had a number of different interactions with him, and he'd whip out different bits and pieces from this briefcase. And he just seemed to have all the bits that he needed to answer you in the moment, regardless of what question you put to him. He just had it. I give you a rough example. Everyone in the GAA gives out about the referee. They always say, ref or whatever, right? First job Gavin made, all the members of the Football Review Committee, a lot of them former managers or ex-players, read the rule book from front to back. And none of them had ever done it before. Like, they're involved in the GAA their entire lives. I think in rugby, it's a done thing. It's not in the GAA. And they all became versed in the language of the rule book. He was incredibly, he was adamant that he was bringing the referees with him, and he got them all on board, and it was huge changes for them too. But he's totally radicalized in a lot of ways the manner in which people abuse referees just by one simple tweak, in that, you know, you give dissent on the pitch, you're going to be punished on the pitch with a free against you. And it's a very simple rule, but he made sure that that got in. And I think that could totally radicalize a culture within the GAA that had probably permeated from the top down to the bottom, where it was becoming next to impossible for referees to actually do their job. Look, in terms of avoiding conflict, I'm not sure it was avoiding conflict. I think it was more so a necessity to have people on board when it came to changing the game of Gaelic football. And how that's going to present itself in presidential debates is going to be really interesting. I'm sure he's going to be asked his stance on what's happening in Israel and Gaza. He's going to be asked his stance on the States and Trump and tariffs. And I'm just really interested to hear what he has to say, because I know he's going to be well-versed in it. You know, he's, in terms of history and in terms of this country and in terms of international politics, you know, look at his background in the Defence Forces. I'm sure he's well up to speed.
Yeah, yeah. It is going to be fascinating to see what he's like as a politician. It's just that cognitive dissonance in your brain to see it differently.
Yeah, Special Congress last year definitely gave us a glimpse. And this is Special Congress of the GAA. And it's a weird and wonderful world, right? Where everyone gathers into a room and they all have clickers and they vote. And the media are down the back and there's a top table. And rightfully so, there was many dissenting voices in the room that day. Actually, there was probably less than I'd expected, because Gavin, I think, had... There was an element of politics about that whole campaign with the Football Review Committee too. They canvassed, they went around the country and they brought people on board. They convinced people before the vote. So by the time the vote came through, Sean, and it might sound silly and maybe not as important as a presidential campaign, but he was getting rules voted through, like the 2-point arc on 94%. Like, this is in a room, a typically slow to change room of GAA Congress. Like, and it's very different, right? The GAA and Camogie are totally different, so I don't want to put them in the same boat here, but the people who voted for you know, the skirts and skirts debate was a massive debate this year. That was Camogie, you know, it wasn't the GAA. But like, these are the type of votes that have happened over the years in the GAA. And while they've been progressive with a number of things in the last little while, I've never seen landslides like it when it came to these rules. And Gavin was challenged a number of times in the room, and he would stand up on in front of the mic that he had and would address the challenger in the room and would have a debate back and forth. And he can be quite forthright, I think, Gavin. So that's going to be really interesting how that plays out. When he believes in something, he really does stick to it and sticks to his guns. So I think he might need that little bit of flexibility over the next couple of weeks as well in these debates. So I'm really interested to see how he gets on.
Mm. Finally then, and I've been kind of joking that he won't get a single vote in Mayo or Kerry after his years with Dublin, but do you think he could win it?
I don't know if I'm the right person to answer that. My sense of it is that I think he will get votes. I think that's a little bit overplayed. That joke, but I know it's an element. I know some people are saying it, but I don't think it is a thing. I think when the debates do occur, and if he's in them, I think he'll come across really well in a lot of ways. I think he'll tick a lot of boxes. I think when people look at Jim Gavin and they listen to him, they will feel an element of trust. I think they'll see he's quite an honourable man. I think they'll see that he believes in what he says, and he's incredibly efficient. And I think the word I'm looking for is... I just think he'll come across well in a lot of ways. I think
presidential. Is that the word you're looking for?
Maybe. I'm afraid to kind of say it. Like there's a bit of that. Like I think I said it earlier, maybe I shouldn't have, but you nearly trust him with the keys to the house, you know? You nearly trust him, a safe pair of hands, he's in there and he'll do it. And I think some of the discourse from people who know him is like, that's a bit of a waste. Like, you know, Jim could actually make a difference, you know, but maybe he can make a difference in this way too. So if that's what people are saying about you, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's going to be fascinating to watch how it unfolds if and when he gets that nomination next Tuesday. Tommy Rooney, GAA correspondent for New Stuff. Listen, thank you so much. That was really interesting. Just an insight into the man that maybe we haven't seen, those who just follow GAA casually. Thanks so much for coming on.
Sean, thanks very much. We'll learn a lot, I think, in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. Don't forget to subscribe wherever it is you're listening for more episodes of Let Me Explain. We will be following through the presidential election, obviously, as everything starts to fall into place over the next few weeks. I'll chat to you soon.